happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA, your international LGBTQIA news source. I'm Andy Hum.
How do I follow that? I'm Ann Northrup. See, our heads are not quite aligned. Maybe I'll try to watch out for scraping sounds, but I'm going to try to get a little more there. That's a little better. Okay.
In the news, hey, Merrick Garland's finally doing something, actually his civil rights division. The U.S. Department of Justice warns the states of lawsuits over their anti-LGBTQ laws.
Yeah, the administration was very active at the end of last week, coinciding with the Transgender Day of Visibility. And in that realm, President Biden met with the United States House LGBTQ Equality Caucus and announced substantial advances on policies affecting transgender people.
Florida Republicans, on the other hand, are now trying to destroy Disney for defying them.
That's going to be an interesting battle of the giants. We are going to this week remember a great gay poet, a power play at the Metropolitan Museum in New York, and the author of a gay detective series.
And a lesbian artist as well. A Texas man gets a jury to agree he had a common law marriage with his partner for 20 years.
That's Texas, folks. France ends restrictions on gay and bi male blood donations.
Russia shut down the newspaper that exposed anti-gay atrocities in Chechnya.
The United Kingdom government is in an uproar over their decision to do a U-turn about banning conversion therapy for trans people. It is a mess over there.
We're going to give you the LGBTQ highlights of the Grammy Awards.
Some of them very nice. And the LGBT movement made it into Final Jeopardy this week. Or last week.
Not into Jeopardy for the first time. So the Department of Justice, the Civil Rights Division, has warned state attorneys general of legal action against laws that potentially, they said, violate constitutional and federal non-discrimination protections. They said all persons should be free to access the services, programs, and activities supported by federal financial assistance without fear that they might face unlawful discrimination. And this was what Kristen Clark, the assistant attorney general for civil rights, wrote.
They wrote a letter to every state attorney general in the nation making this promise or threat. And they also said that they're going to be working against violence against trans people and LGBT people in general, especially women of color.
We will link to their letter and we will link to what the Biden administration in our newsletter, which you can sign up for at gayusatv.org. What the Biden administration did this week, so many things. Let's go down the list. They added an X gender marker to passports, and the TSA will change scanner machines to remove gender. These were all released on the Trans Day of Visibility last Thursday. The TSA pre-check will also include an X gender marker. The Department of Homeland Security will also use it.
They're also promising more access to federal services for trans kids. And more resources in general. The Department of Education is putting out new rules that will protect trans students in Title IX and LGBT people.
Social Security will no longer require trans people to show a doctor's note in order to update gender information on their records. That change will take place this fall. There's a push to include LGBTQ people in government studies. They're offering training for schools and employers on trans inclusion from the federal government. All this will end if the Republicans take over in 2024.
Very quickly.
It's a 4,000-word fact sheet available on the White House website. And again, we will link to it as well.
Turns out that the education secretary, Cardona, has a trans male cousin. That was news to me. Did you know that?
Nope.
And part of all of this was that, first of all, they call him the second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, Kamala Harris's husband, and Admiral Rachel Levine met with trans leaders and Amy Schneider, the big Jeopardy winner, and President Biden sat down with members of the House Equality Caucus, which is generally LGBT members of the United States House of Representatives, although I don't think any of them are T, but they are LGB, and talked about pushing for the Equality Act. They talked to him about pushing.
Well, we're not getting much news out of this meeting. I mean, there are zero Republican sponsors for the Equality Act, and it's opposed by Joe Manchin, and we don't even know about some other Democrats. So if the bill's going nowhere, I wrote to them and said, you know, what's going on? You got some news? No. I mean, they just keep talking about how it's needed. Of course it's needed.
Well, the only real path forward at this point for it is to attach it to something else, to put it in a Defense Department authorization or something that is a must-pass bill. But whether those who are opposed to it, like Manchin, will allow that to happen remains a question. But that's how you get something like that passed.
And of course, there's also a movement, which we have not documented, although we keep hearing about, that people are talking about more religious exemptions just for gays, LGBTQ people, maybe something that takes sort of trans sports out of it or something. So these are worries that we have, and our national organizations are not leveling with us about it.
And we've had these fights over and over and over for so many years. And
I just hope they can still call it the Equality Act when they're done. Now, the Human Rights Campaign, which is one of those big groups, has demoted Fox Corporation from its top workplace list due to its coverage of Don't Say Gay. Only now you're demoting them?
And demoting them, they've taken away 25 of their 100 points. They're no longer 100% workplace. Now they're 75%.
Well, according to a new book, President Biden called Fox News destructive, and Rupert Murdoch, the world's most dangerous man, this is something he must have said a bit ago, but of course he and Putin are right up there, according to a new book.
And, of course, Fox News has just hired Caitlyn Jenner, so I'm sure they want credit for that. She, of course, goes on there and says...
I was saving that for entertainment comedy news.
No, I think it's a little more serious than that.
Prime Minister Ardern in New Zealand was asked, why don't you have this white male revolt that's going on around the world? She says, we don't have Fox News here.
Well, you saw that study that they paid some Fox News watchers to watch CNN, and yes, they all changed their minds.
They did. They paid them $15 an hour, just watch it 9 hours a week, and all of a sudden they were less impressed with their leader, Donald Trump, because it's incredible.
It is, and it makes you want to do more to force people not to watch Fox News.
So, Ketanji Brown Jackson is now coasting to confirmation. You know, three Republicans came out in favor of her. Partly, Romney came out for her because all these faculties at the Brigham Young University Law School, 16 of them, said that she's fine, we're fine with her. And she understands and values the freedom of religion, which I wonder how she interprets that. But, you know, this week, you know, we talked about Josh Hawley and Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz, how awful they were. But the prize goes to Tom Cotton, who said that Judge Jackson would be defending Nazis at Nuremberg. This is what he said in his floor speech. she would be defending Nazis at Nuremberg.
And he didn't mean it as a compliment.
Oh, well, everybody deserves a defense.
And,
all right.
And American lawyers did defend Nazis at Nuremberg, I believe.
Well, no, it was they had German lawyers. Come on, who's the actor who won the Academy Award for Judgment at Nuremberg? Maximilian Schell played him in the movie. Anyway,
I thought you were going to mention Judy Garland. She was in that movie too.
She should have won an Academy Award for that.
And anyway,
It
wasn't just the Biden administration supporting trans people this week. They were coming out from everywhere to support, including Ariana Grande, who created a new organization called Protect and Defend Trans Youth Foundation, or Fund, to which she contributed $1.5 million to give to service groups helping trans people and lobbying organizations, and also is taking donations from others and has already raised almost another $500,000. So
she has 3.2 million followers on Instagram. And the fund will support organizations providing direct services and advocating for the rights of trans youth.
And Mayor Adams of New York City is trying to get into the act.
He's trying to get out from under the fact that he appointed three anti-gay bigots to jobs, and he won't back up on that. So we had a press conference, right? We have a picture of it there. And keep the picture on there. And right next to the mayor there, the white guy near the podium, bald on the back, is Alan Roscoff, who now has who said screw you to the mayor when he made these appointments, but stood there at that press conference and praised him for this new project, which is putting up these posters in red states that say gay, 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 come to New York, come to the city.
They're in five cities in Florida. That's the campaign, I believe, to start
off. Come to the city where you can say whatever you want. And it has gay, 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 gay all over the place.
Well, so, I find this very disingenuous. First of all, how about supporting the gay people who are in Florida to fight back in Florida rather than this silly slogan about coming to New York? What is this, a tourism pitch? I found this offensive. I really did.
I think a lot of people would like to come here. It's too expensive. Why do you think they moved to Florida?
You know, for someone who is standing there appointing anti-gay people to positions in the government of New York City, when we know that people in those positions can do real harm, and then to put up these silly billboards in Florida, for heaven's sake, is just ridiculous.
Well, they do have, so, and Alan Roscoff confronted him about this and about all that stuff and said, yeah, you know, you're criticizing Florida. What are we doing in New York? Now, they did have a woman from the Department of Education whose job it is to integrate LGBTQ issues and make schools safer. And she read off a list of the things they're doing that, if they're doing them, would be terrific. But the point is it all happening, and how is it happening? So anyway,
it's usually a lot more talk than action with those kinds of things.
Right.
I am skeptical, let's put it that way.
So they on the Trans Day of Visibility, they also made projections on City Hall to make it light it up trans. Now, who did all these things, Anne?
Beats me.
Anybody can do them. It's a way to protest.
Well, no, I assume this is a city event.
Yeah, and they also, you can see in the far background is the municipal, top of the municipal building. And I don't think anybody could project up there unless it was an official thing.
Yeah. No, that's official. More interestingly, there was, we have a little video here of some projections on the side of a building that are more activist slogans on that Trans Day of Visibility.
Down in the East Village.
Yeah. Second Avenue and Second Street.
Let trans kids play sports in Alabama and Florida. Black trans power, trans rights now. protect LGBTQ youth. Say gay.
Be gay. I like that.
You should check out Randy Rainbow's takedown of Ron DeSantis on this and just saying gay the whole time. It's a lot of fun. You can Google that, or I'll include a link in the email. So Ron DeSantis wants to punish Disney, ending a 55-year agreement where the company gets some self-governing status within Orlando. And he's also becoming quite the religious demagogue, telling a rally... gird your loins for battle. We are going to fight. You put on the full armor of God, which is a quote from Ephesians. So unlike Trump, he actually knows some of the stuff that's in the Bible, who only knows how to treat it like a prompt. DeSantis can actually cite it. And of course, this is part of his quest for the presidency.
The lawyers are stepping up to fight the new Florida law. Robbie Kaplan, who we remember as Edie Windsor's lawyer, who got rid of DELMA through the Supreme Court, and the National Center for Lesbian Rights have filed suit against the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida. They are charging that the law violates the First and 14th Amendments. They have plaintiffs who are students, teachers, parents, who have actually already suffered harm from this law as it goes into effect, because people are scared, things are happening in schools. Unfortunately, their court of original jurisdiction here has a Trump-appointed judge, so this may take a while to get to various levels of the judiciary, but they're going after it. As they are in various states with all these various laws.
Well, in Texas, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, is horror show, he also wants a boycott of Disney and a Don't Say Gay law.
Well, and one has been filed in Ohio, and there are other states looking to copy this. But in Florida, with this law in place, there is now some civil disobedience taking place. Students are speaking up in classes. There's a great story about one student who is teaching about Stonewall to his classmates. There's another about a teacher who has taken the law literally when it says don't teach about sexual orientation or gender identity. She is eliminating all references to heterosexual couples or sex or any mention of straight people as well as gay people.
She wrote, "I will no longer be referring to your student," this is a letter to parent, "your student with gendered pronouns. All students will be referred to as they or them. I will no longer use a gendered title such as Mr. or Mrs. or make any reference to husbands or wives. And I will, from now on, will use the non-gendered title MX.
But the kids, you know, the right-wing kids or the kids who think they're just being funny in these schools are now being empowered by the kind of right-wing rhetoric that's going around. And they are accusing their gay classmates of being pedophiles. They're picking up this Josh Hawley, Lindsey Graham, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Ted Cruz rhetoric, and
well, it's also
around
from,
pedophiles.
It's also from Ron DeSantis, his spokesperson, who said, if you're against this Don't Say Gay bill, you're for grooming little children for sex.
So all of this is escalating in terrible incendiary ways as a result of this law.
And you know, we went through this a lot in the marriage fight. You know, I mean, a lot of states, certainly a lot of gay movements in the states didn't want it, but it came there. And then all of a sudden, the whole state was talking about this, and it gets very ugly.
I think this is even uglier because when you're throwing around words like pedophile or groomer, you're getting really, really low with your rhetoric and your accusations and your imagery.
The Trevor Project released a survey, and of course they designed the questions, but they found that 57% of U.S. adults do not believe LGBTQ resources should be blocked on the internet 56% opposed banning LGBTQ books from libraries. And down the line, the worst result was 38% say it was appropriate for elementary school students to be barred from discussing them. But
well, you know, polls, polls, polls. The point is that these Republicans are in power. They may represent only a minority point of view, but they have the power and they are passing these laws and no one is throwing them out of office. And the result is very, very scary and ugly for the kids in these states who are now the subject of these laws. South Dakota, Governor Kristi Noem has signed a curriculum censorship bill. No mention of LGBT people or issues or indigenous people or other marginalized people. Anyone who isn't a straight white person is being written out of the United States.
Well, and the American Library Association reports their top 10 list of most challenged books, and two of them are LGBT. Maya Kobabi's graphic memoir about sexual identity, Gender Queer, and Jonathan Evason's Lawn Boy, a gay coming-of-age novel.
And there's an organization called, a company called Follett School Solutions. They sell software to libraries and schools for managing their operations. And they have announced that they are ready to offer software to libraries that will comply with these state laws and alert people to the bad books in these libraries to and who's checking them out so that the libraries and the state and the schools can go after these books and the people who are trying to access them.
Right. Well, are they going to
and let parents know that these books are there and being checked out? And then, of course, we have our old pal, Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado, who thinks it would be a great idea to make it illegal for people to come out before the age of 21.
She issued that on April 1st, and people had to check whether or not it was an April Fool's joke. But with that fool, it was not. Now, Trumpites Roger Stone and Alex Jones are mounting a campaign implying that House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy is homosexual and that he lives with a guy in D.C., Frank Luntz, the famous Republican pollster. And Marjorie Taylor Greene on Tucker Carlson's show, speculated on whether McCarthy is a top or a bottom. They're out of control.
Well, this is all part of a longstanding campaign to prevent Kevin McCarthy from being the Speaker of the House. Because
they want Trump to be the Speaker of the House.
I know.
Folks, you do not have to be a member of the House to be elected Speaker. And they want to install Donald Trump when the Republicans take power as the Speaker.
And they think that McCarthy was mean to Trump for 5 minutes after January 6th. And is too moderate to be the speaker. They want a right-wing speaker. So part of their campaign to prevent him from being speaker is to throw out gay rumors about him.
Right. Let's go back to New York for a couple of things. First of all, there was a fire in a gay bar over the weekend. Somebody came into the bar. It's called Rash. It's called Rash in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Somebody came into the bar over the weekend, threw gasoline on the floor. It exploded. Two people were seriously injured and taken to the hospital. And they don't have all they have is a guy with a hoodie and a backpack. They don't know who did it.
And tangentially related to that, we have the case of New York City firefighter Corey Boykins, an out gay man who is suing the fire department because he's been so mistreated by his colleagues. He went to the human relations diversity officer supposed to go to in terms of the chain of command, who told him, this is my objection to putting these religious right-wingers into positions of power in the city. This guy told Boykins that he should sleep with women, change his sexual orientation, told him that sex is for procreation. This is the diversity officer in the New York City Fire Department.
Well, that guy, Darius Forsett, has been removed from his position, but he ought to, of course, be thrown out of the department. So there's a lawsuit about it. And the guy doesn't want to leave the department. He wants to work there.
Yeah.
All right. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey refused to say whether transgender people actually exist. He signed bills barring trans girls from high school and college women's sports, and another that barred gender-affirming surgery for anyone under the age of 18.
And the Arizona legislature passed a bill allowing discrimination by foster care agencies on the basis of religion or whatever else they feel like, probably.
Maybe we should go to Guerneville, California?
Yes.
So Susie Kuhn has something called Smart Pizza, and she flew a rainbow flag. She's a lesbian, right? And that sparked so-called Christian protests. So one employee came out, held up a pizza box saying, F these people, and stood next to the protesters. Then business owners in the area showed up with boxes with messages of love and acceptance. And there were 12 counter-protesters to the 6 anti-LGBTQ protesters. Kuhn's sign said, Jesus loves me and my girlfriend. Happy Easter.
Well, there's the anti-LGBT protesters that you see here, all who love the truth, hear Jesus's voice, are a roving band of 6 religious anti-gay demonstrators. They have been going all over California doing this. They scream loudly. They have bullhorns. They play loud music. They make a real spectacle of themselves, and they are causing a little havoc around the state.
Methinks they do protest too much.
Well, of course.
All right. In San Antonio, we got a couple stories. One, that Chick-fil-A case. You know, they banned them from the airport. The High Court of Texas said, "We're sending this back to the jury because this came about before there was any law against discrimination on, you know, certain kinds of religious things. So that will be decided before a jury."
Well, they said that the court actually said that the plaintiffs, the right wingers who were suing San Antonio for refusing Chick-fil-A at the airport, had not come up with enough evidence of religious discrimination. So I think sending the case back to the lower court has more to do with some technical issues in the case and less to do with proving religious discrimination. I think
part of it is Chick-fil-A's are not open on Sunday and they don't necessarily want to rent to someone who's not there 7 days a week.
Still come into San Antonio on Sundays.
Right. All right.
Also in San Antonio, a jury by a vote of 10-2 said that a gay male couple did have a common law legal marriage in 1990. They've been together since 96.
Now, the poorer one wanted this acknowledged. The richer one did not.
Because they are separating, or did the richer one die?
Well, we'll get to it. They're sort of divorced. Christopher Hoffman, the poorer one, filed for divorce from his partner, Moises Ortiz, in 2019. But he's the one who said, we've been common law for 20 years and under the Texas Family Code. And Ortiz said, they're just roommates. But the judge didn't buy that and ordered Ortiz to pay $1,200 a month, was it maybe $1,700, in spousal support, with the jury ruling on the validity of the marriage. The jury was interesting. The two people who voted against them, and you don't need them, but you 10-2 was a win for this guy. But the two who voted against said, you could have gotten married and you didn't. But two of the jurors who voted in favor of this guy, they were against same-sex marriage, but they said, you proved your case.
Yes, they listened and they learned and they realized that they were a real couple. They had refused to believe that before. They hadn't really believed in the possibility of a same-sex couple. But going through the case, they learned and understood and voted for this.
So this entitles Hoffman to Social Security benefits and benefits from the other guy's retirement plan and spousal support since he is disabled. And the judge will decide how they divide their assets.
A couple of other bad pieces of news. In Georgia, under cover of darkness, at about midnight, the legislature passed a law creating an athletic commission that is going to be empowered to decide, I guess, case by case, whether trans people can participate in school sports in Georgia. And in California, there's a ruling by a judge in Los Angeles overturning law in California that demands that corporate boards have diversity, that they, if there's an open seat or they can add a seat to add diverse people onto the board, whether they be LGBT or people of color, black, indigenous, whatever. And the judge said, no, that's unconstitutional.
Well, the judge granted them summary judgment. It was brought by a right-wing group, Judicial Watch, and the judge did not explain their reason.
No, no explanation. It seems to me that the law made sense, but evidently not to this judge. No, no word yet on whether anyone's appealing.
Tennessee is piling on.
Okay.
They banned trans students from school sports last year. Now they are requiring state education officials to withhold public funds from districts that allow trans students to participate in school sports. It passed on a party line vote. There's also a bill to ban trans athletes now in collegiate sports. And the education committee advanced one protecting teachers who don't want to use proper pronouns.
Well, they're also trying to circumvent same-sex marriage by passing a law about civil unions that are only open to opposite-sex couples and mandate.
They forgot to write an age limit into the bill, so it means you can marry five-year-olds now.
They're pedophiles. It's a pedophile law.
Right.
And in New York City, a federal judge found that the Dell Corporation had laid off a trans woman, Cecilia Gilbert, during her transition illegally. They misstated federal and state laws around gender identity and disability. So now the question is whether she will get reinstatement, whether staff training will be mandated, policies changed. And Dell has a 100% HRC rating.
Okay, so we talk about some of the people we've lost.
Yes.
In Jackson, Mississippi, a black trans woman, Kesha Webster, 24, found dead on March 26th. Family was told it was a robbery homicide, and the family is trying to raise the profile of the investigation. Her mom, Sharon Taylor, said, "I want justice for my baby," because she was loved. She had plenty of love. She had worked at Aeropostal and Hollister Company, graduated from Callaway High School. A memorial was held on April 1st, the ninth trans victim of fatal violence in 2022.
That we know of. And in Inglewood, California, the FBI has arrested Derek Patterson, accusing him of being a grinder robber. He made dates with 21 men that they know of so far and robbed them very violently. He had a taser and some kind of stun gun thing and was really nasty and violent with them. But he's now been arrested.
I want to repeat the advice of the Gay and LGBTQ Anti-Violence Project. If you meet somebody on Grindr, meet them in a neutral place where they can be seen by other people with you who know you so that they are less likely to commit these kinds of crimes against you.
Wouldn't hurt to have them show ID to someone.
Don't just go to their homes or invite them to your homes.
Yeah, and that's what happened. This guy was invited to people's homes or hotel rooms or whatever, and that's where they got attacked. It's very, very bad to meet people privately in these situations.
Some obituaries for this week. Out Pulitzer Prize-winning poet and translator Richard Howard has died at 92. There he is pictured with his dog, Gide, when I interviewed him in 2007. He said, dogs should have one-syllable names. He's survived by his husband, David Alexander. He died of complications of dementia. His poems addressed issues of love and identity, often spoke in the voices of historical figures. Auden was an early influence, as was a job that he had writing dictionary definitions when he was young. He said
it didn't enjoy that.
He said it was drudgery to the point of dentistry, but it helped.
He was a Pulitzer Prize winner, and he was also a very well-known translator of works from the French, major French authors, and got a lot of acclaim for that. He was also the New York State Poet Laureate for a few years in the 90s, and he was well-known for writing direct monologues.
I just want to repeat four of his lines. He imagines sixth graders in Sandusky, Ohio, who were disturbed by dissecting mice. So he says, is all science a history of death? Maybe we'll learn in seventh grade that no fate is worse than death after all, and that life will be our fate.
Very nice. And we also want to mourn the death of Ashton Hawkins, who was on the left there with his husband, Johnny Moore, on the right. Ashton was 84. He had Alzheimer's for some years. He was very well known as a very influential man about town in New York. He was for over 30 years the executive vice president and general counsel at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, famous for being able to, I want to say seduce, but in the nicest way, just, bring in big donors to the Met, and he would escort Jackie Kennedy or Brooke Astor, or he knew everybody, and he was the nicest guy. I knew him and know Johnny, and he was a total sweetheart, but he knew everyone and was widely beloved.
He mastered the complexities of art law for the museum, was real expert in that. Okay, and by the way, he met Johnny, who became Johnny Hawkins eventually, an actor and producer in 1996, and they married in 2013. And then author Richard Lopez, 83, has died of pancreatic cancer, survived by his husband, Joe Wheaton. He was famous for a series of detective novels centered on an out gay detective, and he wrote under the pen name Richard Stevenson. His protagonist was David Strachey, once even going undercover to expose a conversion therapy group. Another opened at the AIDS quilt. He also worked.
I love that storyline. He and his partner, I guess, are at the AIDS quilt, and they see a panel for someone who they know not to be dead. And that's how the detective novel starts.
When he was young, he worked in the Peace Corps in Ethiopia.
He has two new books coming out posthumously. He was known for writing three-dimensional, real gay characters, not the sort of exploitative, one-dimensional characters that you usually find in detective novels.
And we're reading in the Times this week that LGBTQ romance books are taking off and becoming a big thing.
Well, particularly lesbian romance, that they're hot.
Well, we lost
just when you think you've seen everything, lesbian romance novels become hot in 2022.
We lost a prominent lesbian this week, Margaret Rose Vendrees, the former co-president of the Leslie Lohman Museum of Art, which is an LGBTQ art museum in New York City. She chaired the art department at York College in Queens, and was set to take up the job there of the similar job at Tufts University, but she died suddenly at 67. She was an art historian, visual artist, educator, and curator. She began her African Diva project featuring black artists in 2005, a native of Kingston, Jamaica. She studied at Amherst, Tulane, and Princeton.
And one other death a couple of weeks ago, it falls into the category of, I don't know this for a fact, but I just believe it's true. And that is Joan Joyce, the extremely famous softball player and all-around athlete, a pitcher for the Raybestos Braquettes in Connecticut. She struck out Ted Williams and Hank Aaron in exhibition games. She was a champion at golf, at volleyball, at basketball. She's in 19 halls of fame, and she leaves a sister. If she wasn't a lesbian, I don't know who is, but there's no, I have no actual documentation of that.
And Jonathan Capehart is a gay. He's not dead, but he you know him from MSNBC and PBS, and he's been the Washington Post editorial board, one of the members. He has now been named associate editor of the Washington Post.
And the San Francisco Pride Parade is returning to the streets on June 26th. With the theme, Love Will Keep Us Together, and London is going to bring back its Pride Parade in the streets this year, too.
All right. Let's get into the bad international news.
Okay.
Boris Johnson in London, you know, they've been promising to do stuff for transgender people, and they've had all these meetings and bills and things. So this week he said, it's okay to ban trans people from single-sex situations. He says it's Orwellian equality to include them. It's ridiculous. And in terms of conversion therapy, they're not going to ban it for trans people, just for the gays. I mean, this has caused all the gay LGBTQ organizations to withdraw from a big conference that was supposed to happen this summer. It's just a disgrace. Broken promises from Boris Johnson, but that's par for the course.
Off the cuff. No, you know, it's one thing to raise questions about single-sex situations. It's another thing to refuse to ban conversion therapy for trans people. We're going to go ahead with banning trans conversion therapy for lesbian, gay, bisexual people, but not for trans people. And this is just out of nowhere for him. The conference has been canceled because so many people withdrew from it.
And democracy will continue to be canceled in Hungary. They had an election, but Viktor Orban was reelected, horribly anti-gay, very close to Putin. That didn't seem to hurt him. And they did have a referendum trying to enshrine in the Constitution all these horrible anti-gay things. And they failed because people spoiled their ballots. For a constitutional referendum to pass, at least 50% of the eligible voters have to participate. So people spoiled ballots, and even though the people who did vote on these things were overwhelmingly for them, it did not go into the Constitution. But it's still in the law.
Yeah, so the law is still there. They want to try to put together a repeal effort, but it seems unlikely. And the CPAC conference will be there in May. The U.S. CPAC conference, Conservative Political Action Committee conference, will be in Hungary next month.
And it's nice to see that the Pope apologized to the indigenous people of Canada for church abuse for 100 years. They found 1,000 buried in unmarked graves, children. But we're still waiting for our apology.
In Thailand, the government has again rejected a marriage bill proposed by the opposition to the government. They don't want to give them a victory. So they're rejecting the bill no matter what they think of the subject matter.
In Qatar, they're going to have the World Cup, and they said, we may confiscate rainbow flags just to protect the people who want to fly them.
Reminds me of Golda Meir when in Israel many years ago, when she was the prime minister, they proposed curfews for women to protect them from rape. And she said, protect the women from rape with a curfew. How about getting rid of the men on the streets? They're the ones who are the rapists.
Okay. All right. I was a little skeptical of this story, but we apparently have the first out LGBTQ head of state in the world. San Marino has appointed gay activist Paolo Rondelli as Captain Regent of the Republic of San Marino. They say
for 6 months.
And he shares it with someone else. But San Marino has 34,000 residents, landlocked within the Italian region of Emilia-Romagna.
I believe it's the answer for Final Jeopardy tonight.
Well, that says 39,000, but we'll see.
Do the prime ministers of Luxembourg, Serbia, and Iceland not count as heads of state?
I guess prime ministers don't. Like in Ireland, the head of state is not the prime minister. It's the president who was elected separately. And of course, the head of state in Britain is the queen.
Right. And Serbia does have a president. So
and she's not a lesbian that I know of.
The queen?
Yeah.
Who knows? In India, the Delhi High Court will hear the long postponed marriage cases next month. And members of parliament have introduced a same-sex marriage legalization bill.
Okay. AIDS news?
Yep.
France has lifted restrictions on gay and bi men donating blood. They was banned entirely in 1983. In 2016, it was 12 months with no sex. 2019, 4 months. Now it's gone entirely, partly because so many gay men are on PrEP. The health minister said, we are ending an inequality that is no longer justified. And in the U.S., it's still a 90-day wait period.
Well, also in France, a study of 500 HIV-positive people found that those on protease inhibitors were less likely to contract COVID. Another reason to be on treatment if you have HIV.
And stop the presses. Zimbabwe has decriminalized transmission of HIV in order to reduce discrimination and stigma that prevents vulnerable groups from receiving HIV prevention care and treatment. UNAIDS worked with them, along with Zimbabwe's National AIDS Council and the government, on the change. 130 countries still criminalize non-disclosure, exposure, transmission of HIV. Zimbabwe has 1.3 million people living with HIV. And you're scratching.
Well, I am scratching.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my paper's against my computer. Activists are applauding Biden for proposing increases in funding for HIV and PrEP. But condemning him because he's cutting funds internationally.
Okay. All right.
Entertainment news.
We do have a lot.
Well, first of all, I mentioned last week or the week before the Here TV documentary, 100 Years of Men in Love. I watched it finally. I'd only seen the trailer, and it's really extremely charming. It's gay couples over 100 years, 1850 to 1950. They came across this trove of old pictures, tintypes, amazing shots of men in intimate poses.
Speaking of which, I'm watching the Ben Franklin documentary, and I'm learning a lot on PBS from Ken Burns. But Ken Burns is in the, don't say gay when you're Ken Burns. He says Benjamin Franklin got these three generals from Europe to work, come to our revolution, Pulaski, Steuben, and Lafayette, all of whom are LGBTQ. I mean, no question about Steuben. He was thrown out of the Prussian army for being gay. Pulaski, they now know, was intersex. None of this, and Lafayette wrote ardent love letters to Washington and Hamilton. Now, none of this ever gets mentioned in any of his documentaries. He did the same thing to Eleanor Roosevelt. And I like a lot of his work, but he has a blind spot about this.
Write him a letter.
I will.
And I know you will, and you should. We also ran out of time last week before we could mention Brendan Black, an out gay actor who is going to be the first out gay character in a Tyler Perry Madea movie, a Madea Homecoming, coming to Netflix shortly.
going to play her great-grandson, with the family celebrating his graduation as valedictorian, an occasion he wants to use to come out, but there are complications. We won't tell you what happens next.
I finally caught up with a very old movie from 2004, Debs, capital D period, E period, B period, S period. Oh. It's an old lesbian comedy, and it's playing on demand on TV. Holland Taylor is in it, and it's so lesbian and so funny and so cute and clever. If you never saw Debs, I would highly recommend it. And directed by Angela Robinson, who is a very well-known director now. Must be one of her earliest works.
Final note on the Oscars, quotas are coming in 2024. Producers are going to have to submit summation of race, gender, sexual orientation, and disability of cast and crew. And if it's not diverse enough under some formula that they have, they're not going to be eligible for the Oscars.
Well, I wonder what that judge in L.A. will have to say about that, having outlawed diversity quotas on corporate boards.
Right. Okay.
And Ariana DeBose, who won the supporting actor Oscar last week, said, "I've spoken to Disney chief Bob Chapek about anti-LGBT bills, and I will continue to do so. When I see something, I say something."
Okay. How about that Jared Carmichael, the comedian? He has come out. There's a picture of him coming out as gay on an HBO special on a Friday night, though he'd acknowledge sex with men in the past. And then he hosts Saturday Night Live. And he said, "Coming out as gay, let him become the least famous person ever to host Saturday Night Live." That was kind of funny.
He said, you know, when you come out as gay, you get to host Saturday Night Live. And in New York, you get free pizza.
The HBO thing, he told quite a complicated family story.
He did, and it was quite poignant at times, and some of it was a little rough to listen to about homophobic friends and his self-hatred, too. And the rejection by his mother, too, was also a little...
He's quite religious.
Yeah. But it's well worth watching, I thought. Right. And he criticized his brother for loving him despite being gay and called him condescending.
We know a lot of people who have stories like that.
Well,
Final Jeopardy on March 31st. The category was historic places. Here's the clue. Following a raid at this establishment in 1969, protesters confronted police by forming a rocket-style kick line. And only one guy got it.
Somebody guessed Radio City Music Hall.
Which I can't imagine had been raided.
I don't know.
Stonewall Inn. And that's what he wrote. Stonewall Inn.
Yeah.
It's not the first gay final. Harvey Milk was a response months ago relative to rainbow flags. But we have a short video that in the 1960s, when Art Fleming was the host, this subject came up.
Please. Go ahead.
Actors in their roles for 40.
Well, it's one of those days. The answer is, he played homosexuals in The Loved One, The Sergeant, and No Way to Treat a Lady. Kim.
Who is Rod Steiger?
Rod Steiger is right. Good.
1960s, pre-Stonewall.
Well, they're ahead of Ken Burns.
Yes, they are. All right.
One and a half of us saw Plaza Suite on Saturday.
It's back on Broadway. It's packing them in with real-life couple Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick, who you're telling me now has COVID, playing three different couples who meet at the Plaza Hotel at different times over the years, 1968 and 70. Now, there's a reason it has not been revived on Broadway since 1968. You know, that time was closer to vaudeville, which this is very much like, than we are. It's sketch comedy and kind of dated. It is directed by our buddy John Benjamin Hickey, the out gay director. Broderick and Parker are troopers and make the most of it. I would say the second act is the best.
Which is why I should regret leaving after the first act, but that's my MO, so whatever. Okay. It you know, it wasn't offensive. It just was kind of silly and dated.
And the great out actor David Greenspan is back on the boards in a revival of The Patsy from 1925. It was a Broadway show. He now plays all the characters from this show. I saw it in 2012. It's a bracing version about family intrigue, marital sparring, lovers in pursuit, country club scandals, labors. He's hilarious. It's from the Transport Group at the Abrams Arts Center down there on Grand Street, and I'll give you a link to it in our email.
Before we get into the Grammys, I just want to remind people this weekend is the last episode ever of Killing Eve, where Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer and Camille Cotin have gotten so lesbo-erotic. It's just a pleasure to watch. Watch it from the beginning on demand if you can, but the last episode is this Sunday.
Okay, running out of time. 2 minutes. Well, let's go to the Grammys. Let's show you Elliot Page.
No, this is not the Grammys. This is Elliot in Umbrella Academy, whose character is going to be trans in the new season. So that's Elliot in Umbrella Academy. Okay, but on the Grammys, we have Lil Nas X doing a pretty spectacular medley of Call Me By Your Name and a couple of others, although not quite as provocative as some of his other performances. But he did manage to hold his crotch throughout.
Billy Porter was one of the presenters. There he is on the red carpet and resplendent in pink.
Yep. And they did a really good, I thought, Sondheim tribute with four singers that went over very well. Just a medley of Sondheim songs.
It was the In Memoriam.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Brandi Carlile did a performance of Right on Time. There she is with her 40-pound rhinestone jacket. And here she is kissing her wife, Catherine, on the red carpet. They make a lovely couple.
And then T.J. Osborne won for Best Country Song, Younger Me, which we will link to in our email.
I love that song. He and his brother won for country duo or group, and TJ.
He said through tears, he wrote the song in response to coming out. I'm here with the man I love and who loves me, I don't know what I did to be so lucky, he said.
I never would have believed it, he said, that he could be accepted and honored for being who he is.
When I posted this song on Facebook, somebody said, well, you know, they're not being played as much on the radio now. I said, you know what? I don't think they care. They're getting to live their authentic lives.
It is a
awards.
Great song, Younger Me, the Brothers Osborne. And
beautiful.
We will be back next week.
Bye-bye.